Church family,
good morning.
Good to see you out and about. Good to have Tony's mother, Mrs. Guthrie, with us this morning from the Hemlock area. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Joe, don't feel lonely back there. You know, we can butter you up the gym or something there. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, a lot of times when we look at growing up in the things of God, when we come to church on Sunday, just had a couple that had been gone, they came back, and they said, the one thing that we really missed is how real that you folks are. They said, we can go to other places, and they can put on a happy face, but you never get to know their heart. So they said, it was so good, Pastor, we were gone for a season, because we really realized what we had here. So, you know, there's something about when we challenge you on a Sunday morning to, you know, give a word. Someone says, oh, I can't think of anything. You know what? There's no accents. God's put stuff in your heart. You just have to step out and use it. Now, I did not just pick novices that I wasn't sure of, but I'm sensing, you know, to be an encouragement to all of us, but also to you guys. Because I know there are regular ones in here that could give you words every Sunday. But see, then we get to pattern ourselves thinking it's all about just certain people instead of realizing we all got that Holy Ghost and we can flow with those nuggets too. So it's a training time, but it's family time. One time I was at a particular work and they had really annihilated someone that they said was stepped out of a wrong timing or whatever. That person never to be used again. You get so hurt, so damaged. The Lord's not here to damage or to hurt. He's here to build us up and to strengthen us. And even if you were to say something that wasn't totally on, we would be able to straighten it out and still turn it around to be encouragement. Amen?
Right.
Because we're family and we're growing and we're learning what it's all about to be part of the body of Christ. Praise God. Well, yeah, you look like you adjusted okay to our new seating. I do want to welcome, I know there'll be many of you following us on Facebook this morning. I do want to welcome you to our church family, to, I believe, the message that the Lord has put on my heart. I want to welcome Christ Image Church, Community Church, that I ministered at last weekend. Welcome you. I know some of you had even checked us out last weeks, and want to welcome New Life Baptists and all these that we build bridges, family and friends around the earth. We welcome you because we believe that God's doing something here that's not special for Shield of Faith, but it's something that we want to take outside of these four walls. Amen? So this morning, I want to talk to you about love. But the love I want to talk about is the love like Jesus. And I don't want to get caught up in all the different Greek words for love and all the different ways we can dissect it. And are we in this type or that? Or ultimately, can we get to agape? Now, I want us to pattern this love that I believe that we already have inside us. And I want to bring that to your light this morning. Now, a few years ago, back in the 70s, some of you were alive during the 70s. Some of you know this artist, Dolly Parton, sang a song. It's 1973. I'm not sure she was the author of it, but it became popular when Whitney Houston sang it in a movie called The Bodyguard. And the essence of it, I will always love you. And it gives me goosebumps because, you know, it is a relationship with your spouse that they want to be assured that no matter what, you will always be loved. But ultimately, the Lord Jesus loves us and wants us to understand this love that he had that made us want him, and then to realize that's the same love available that's in us to be released to others.
Yes.
So he's saying he'll never leave us. He's saying I always will love you. And it's something I think endearing to get within our heartbeat. I think a lot of times we pattern and we come up with what we think it's all about. I know many of you have been reading or the book, The Shack. Some of you have gone to the movie. Some people have issues with it, whatever. But the essence of it, if you really focus on it in there, it deals with how big our God is and how much love he has for us, about us, and to us. Amen? And I think a lot of times, depending on how we were raised, we have our own idea what that looks like or what that is. And I want to help, hopefully, bring a little clarity to you this morning so we can take maybe a better look at the love we're talking about that Jesus conveys when he says he'll always be there for us and will always love us. There's an essence, a part in the movie or the book, if you read The Shack, that I really love because it puts in perspective. If I was to throw this out at you and ask you, here, this is going to be a little, I guess you'd say quiz, Bible quiz. If I was to ask you, church, which of the disciples did Jesus love, what would your response be? All of them. In a lot of circles, they would be quick to say it's John, the Beloved. Now, stay with me a second. We know Jesus loved John the Beloved, but he didn't love John the Beloved more than he loved any of the other disciples. But when we look at it, why was it conveyed by some of the authors that he was called John the Beloved? This is why. Because John chose to be with Jesus in every opportunity he could possibly be. It's recorded. Whenever he had a chance, he got close to Jesus. He put his head on Jesus' breast. And because of that, he developed and realized this love that he felt for Jesus. When the day of Pentecost got and he got that same love on him, he began to convey that. And it's been known historically that he was impossible to kill. He was boiled in oil, historians say. I can't even imagine what that would be like, but you don't survive that, I got to believe. Unless the love of God is so big in your heart that it can't kill you. Now, you study all the apostles in the Bible, all of them found pretty hard deaths, except John the Beloved. And I'm calling him John Beloved, not because he was more loved by Jesus, but because he had such a passion to grab a hold of this love that Jesus had. That on the cross, Jesus would look down at his mother and say, "Mother, this is your son. Son, this is your mother." That is love that's being released. He was let out on an island. We know he was used by the Holy Ghost to write the book of Revelations. And probably died of an old age or whatever. Historians say that it was hard to take his love or take his life because he just oozed with this love. Wouldn't that be cool that no matter what people try to do, the love of God that's in us cannot be or shake us off track? Amen? So this is what I want to look at this morning is his love. Now, you were all pretty good because when I asked you that question, I thought some of you were going to be real quick to throw out John the Beloved. But because you're grounded and founded and you realize that Jesus loves everyone, let me go back to the shack and the situation of those two. This father who had lost his daughter, very grieved and very angry and very bitter and wanted to really get his hands on this person that would do that to his daughter. Oh, how could this happen? And then, of course, he meets the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and he learns how much God loves him to give him the strength to get through that, how much God loved this daughter that went to be with the Lord, and how much the Lord loved the perpetrator. That's hard for us to put our head around, but the key is God so loved the world that he gave. He loves everybody, every one of his creations he loves, whether they love him back or not. He died, Father God gave his son, and he died for those that love him and those that don't. I'm telling you as believers, let's grab a hold of that love, learn what it looks like, feels like, and operate in it.
Amen.
So that when people around, all they feel on us is the love of God. It talks about Paul. I think historians say he eventually got beheaded, if that's the actuality. There's a lot of speculation, but he lived quite a long time. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was drowned. They couldn't kill him either. And I'm telling you, there's something about God's destiny that he has on our life, that if we will just learn to absorb this love in our life, the enemy can't take us out. He can't get us until it's our appointed time, and that's a beautiful time. So, we're here this morning. You already know that we've been sharing, and I've been sharing, Pastor Mike's been sharing on how, as a believer, you're already full-time what? Ministers. When you got saved, you got who that came to live in you? Holy Ghost. You don't have a baby Holy Ghost. I got a big, powerful one. We all get the same Holy Ghost. Amen? This Holy Ghost brings the kingdom with him. And when he comes, we got all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so part of that is we also get the kingdom part that's his love. All of us. Now, what we're learning and we understand is why more people operate in it than others is just because they've learned and understood what it is and they're willing to release it to others. It's a development. I believe John the Beloved developed. It was a developing going on. And yes, he did everything he can to be around Jesus. But once Jesus went to the cross, he got empowered with that same element. Now, let me just give you a couple scriptures. I know I put it in your notes. But Acts 10:38 says this. Acts 10:38. This is in the New Covenant. The Bible says this. How God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, let me just stop right there a second. Now, we know when Jesus gets resurrected, we know that he told believers together until you get endued with what?
Power.
So Jesus is going to later on tell us the same thing, but this is Father God. Now remember, he gave up his deity to be born in the flesh, to be and relate like you and I. And when he was baptized in the river and the Holy Ghost was no longer just around him but was in him, he then began to do, and this is what it says he did. And then as the Holy Spirit was with power, he went about doing good and he healed all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How was God with him? We know Jesus is God, but he also gave up to be human. It's because he was empowered with the same empowering you and I get called the Holy Ghost. So he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now stop. Remember when Jesus in the gospel said in John 14, I believe it's 12, he says, hey, you that are following me, if you'll understand, get a handle on this. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. The things that I do, you're going to be able to do, and even greater. Because I'm going to go to be with my Father, but I am going to send you another comforter just like me. And when he comes, he's not just going to be with you, he's going to be in you. So he goes to heaven. He sends us the Holy Ghost. So Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed to the devil. Can you imagine if we get a handle and we develop this love and we begin to be used by God to set people free and see the signs and the wonders? Can you imagine how many people are going to come to love Jesus because of how good he is? Because it's being seen on us. And someone says, man, I got a long ways to go. We all got a ways to go, but thank God we got everything we need in us.
Amen.
All we have to do is allow the Holy Ghost to develop it in us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Romans, talking about this Holy Ghost that Jesus had. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this. Now hope does not disappoint because the love, everybody say love. The love of God has been poured out, yours might say shed abroad, in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this very love element that God gave to the world and Jesus conveyed and gave to us by the power of the Holy Ghost, we got it. It's available to us. It's in us and waiting to get off us onto others. And we know, if I wanted to slip ahead to Romans 8:11, just to remind you again what it says. And 8:11 says this. It says, the Holy Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead is also going to give you life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Ghost that dwells in you. The same power that Jesus used to do good and healed all that were oppressed of the devil in us when we receive him. We have the same one that raised Jesus even from the dead. So we have available kingdom power, kingdom signs and wonders. And I'm telling you, there's a